Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always. And you're going to be glad you stayed with us because we've got our good buddy Don Cooper back on the show. Don's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the president of the Sales Heretic. He's got an outstanding newsletter he publishes, a blog. He's an expert in sales and sales management, putting your best foot forward in the marketplace. He's been sharing his pearls of wisdom with us for a number of years, and he's here today to talk to us about making better presentations, which is one of my favorite things to talk about. Don Cooper, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
You know, Don, I used to say, and I still say this, I still believe this, even in 2009, I still say this, and I've been saying this for 30 years. Show me 100 companies who say, we don't give proposals in our industry. Nobody does, and they don't work in our industry. Show me 100 companies who say that, and I'll show 99 of them how they're wrong. What do you think?
I agree. Absolutely.
A proposal given, especially in a presentation, a proposal, a written proposal, regardless of how it's delivered, if you email it or whatever you do, if you WebEx it or hand deliver it, a proposal and properly presented, especially, is puts you way ahead of the competition, and it's a worker bee that you leave behind, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So how do we get better at this?
Well, the key is to focus on the client. And that is the problem with most presentations and most proposals.
Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa. Time out, Don. Are you telling me that it's not all about me?
I know. It's a radical concept.
I hate it when people say that. I want it to be about me, Don. I'm wonderful. I've got this product of the month. I've got this discount. I've got these new colors. I'm wonderful. Why shouldn't it be about me?
That's exactly what everybody thinks. That's precisely what people think. And it's the worst problem with presentations.
It's the best way to get to keep your stuff, isn't it?
The salesperson, the company, the history, the product, the service, and no one really cares.
Yeah.
I once watched a sales team walk into a corporate office to make their sales pitch, and there's a small group of executives there in the audience, and they set up their PowerPoint projector, and they started their presentation, and they launched into the history of their company, what made them so great, and within 5 minutes, the CEO stood up and walked out of the room.
Wow.
And from that point on, there was no point in them continuing.
Boy,
they
that
already
was an
lost the sale.
That was an awkward moment, wasn't it?
Yeah. But they were just completely wasting his time.
Yeah.
He didn't care about their history and their awards mm-hmm. and their track record, yada, yada. He wanted them to get to him. And they didn't do that at all.
Well,
and that's common.
I will say that it's always a good idea for the audience to have a frame of reference for who they're listening to. It is a good idea for whenever you're being introduced as a speaker, Don. It's important, I think, for the introducer to give your credentials, because that tells people, okay, this guy's going to talk. I'm going to listen. I'm going to give him my time. I think it's good for them to be able to know what your credentials are, why they should justify giving you some of their time. But it can't. You got to figure out a way to do that. And as you say, we have to think about the customer. And so, if you want them to know that in this particular case, they should have gotten that information in early, shouldn't they?
Precisely. And if you're in retail, then it's not really even relevant because the customer has come to you already.
Exactly.
And too many salespeople are too worried about what you just said, trying to make themselves come across with respect and come across as knowledgeable. mm-hmm. when they don't need to. No one's out there judging them. People are looking for information, and they're looking for answers. That's what they want. And a salesperson that can provide them the answers they need, give them the information they really want that really matters, that's who will build the confidence and the trust mm-hmm. and gain their respect and make the sale.
In the old days, Don, when before the Internet, there might have been a reason to tell people about certain things because they might not have known about it. But today, if you've got any credentials, you've obviously got those on your website, people know more about you today than maybe in some ways, maybe more as much or more than you know about yourself by the time you get there.
That's absolutely true. There's so much information out there.
Yeah,
and buyers
yeah.
are smarter. They're more savvy today than ever before. They're doing their research.
Much better, much better. Hold on to that thought, Don. We'll take a quick break. Folks, this is really important stuff to help you put your best foot forward in the marketplace. Don Cooper and I will be right back. It's 20 Till. Stay with us. Little Chicago, ladies and gentlemen. One of the classics. 17 Till, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with us. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out. Use it to your advantage. And don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter as well. And that's at Jim Blasingame on Twitter. And smallbusinessadvocate.com is where you can find all the things that we have. Articles, archives, Brain Trust members, the knowledge base where you can ask questions. The blog, the newsletter, lots and lots of stuff there. So check it out. Don Cooper is with us. He's all over our website. He's deposited lots of pearls of wisdom with us. And he's with us right now to talk to us about making presentations, how to do a better job of presentations. Is the art of presentations, is the art of delivering a proposal dead? Is it died, Don?
It's not dead, but most people just don't know how to do it well. It's not being taught very much. And part of it is companies are not willing to invest the money to teach their people how to do presentations effectively.
Well, I'll tell you, Don, I fought it hard, long and hard. I grew up in an era where the people who trained me to sell, that was a huge part of our training time, was to learn how to make a presentation, how to deliver a proposal properly. And I fought not deliver. I mean, I demanded that almost, basically, that I had to deliver every proposal I gave face-to-face. But as the Internet came along, as the email came along, and as I started doing business across the country more and more, it became pretty much, not possible for me to deliver a proposal. Somebody would call on Monday and say, can you have me a proposal on Friday? And so I would put it together into a PDF and email it to them. And I made sales that way, but for a long time it made me uncomfortable.
That's understandable. You'd much prefer to be one-on-one, face-to-face with the person, but in today's economy it's often impossible.
Of course, the technology is such now with WebEx and some of these kinds of programs that you can actually do that. You can't do it face-to-face, but you can go through it at your own pace, can't you?
Right. You can use all kinds of web conferencing tools. You can use the phone. You can use PDF files. I use a lot of PDF files in my work when I'm doing proposals for organizations. But the same principles apply to any way that you're trying to get your message across. The message matters, and that message has to be client-focused.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot simply be all about your product, your service, your company. That's what so many salespeople are taught. They just run through features and benefits, features and benefits, features and benefits. And they believe that if they simply regurgitate enough of that information to the client will love their stuff. And that's not the case. The client doesn't care about our stuff. They don't care about our history. They don't care about all the features we're laying out. Any given product or service today has dozens, hundreds of features. Nobody has the time to read them all or hear them all. They don't want to know. They don't care. I tell people about my computer. There's a handful of features about my laptop computer that I care about. It happens to have hundreds of other features. I don't know what they are. I don't care. I don't have time to learn about all the things it could conceivably do because I don't need it to do that.
Right.
I want to focus on what matters to me, and what matters to me is very different from what matters to the next prospect.
If I only like blue, and I know I'm only going to buy a blue car or a blue whatever, I don't need to know about all the other colors, do I?
Absolutely.
And every moment that you're spending time talking about other colors or things that are not relevant to me are things that are just irritating me and taking up my time. And one of the things that's happening these days that I've seen more than ever before, people are, they've never liked for you to waste their time, but they are absolutely fanatics about not wasting time now.
Well, time is much more precious a resource today than it ever has been.
Ever been, right.
People say time is money. No, time is much more valuable than money. Mm-hmm. We will happily spend money to save us time.
And but to get all this information, to find out what's on there, to find out what is relevant to them, you got to ask them questions.
Absolutely. And most salespeople don't ask anywhere near enough questions.
Mm-hmm.
They might ask a couple, but then they launch into their pitch. And nobody wants to hear a pitch.
What you have to do
is to ask a lot of questions first to figure out what's important to this prospect. What do they want? What do they need? What do they fear? What are their priorities? What are their biases? What are their experiences? And once you figure all that out, then you can custom tailor a presentation to them that addresses their specific issues. You could answer their unique questions. You can address their particular priorities, their particular values.
One of the things, Don, that that I've tried to do in my speeches, in my proposal presentations, or whatever I'm trying to do for someone, I want to do a good enough job of what you just said, that I really expect them, and I'm gonna be disappointed if they aren't so impressed with how I've customized my proposal for them. If they don't remark about it, I feel like I didn't do enough.
That's the way it should be.
If they don't say, well, you know what, Jim? We're not going to buy from you. We're going to buy from your competitor. But boy, you did a good job of customizing it for what we wanted.
The interesting thing being, the more you customize that presentation, the more likely you are to make the sale.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, There's a trust factor, right? When people buy from you these days, why would they buy from you? We talked about the experience. That's how big a deal that is. But also they're going to buy from you because they trust you. And one of the ways to get them to trust you is for them to think that you've been thinking about them. And that's what Don and I have been talking about. We got more to come on this topic of presentations after these messages. 10 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We're back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're grooving with our good friend Don Cooper. Don, tell us how we can find you. Tell us about your company and how we can find you online.
I am all over the web. My primary website is www.doncooper.com. That's COOPER. And my blog is on there. It's doncooper.com/blog. I post that on a regular basis. There are a ton of great blog entries, a lot of articles, all kinds of sales-boosting tips, ideas.
I'm following you on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter at Twitter/Don Cooper. I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm real easy to find.
Yeah, so check him out. And if somebody wanted to use your services, you do a lot of work with companies to help them with the kind of things we're talking about right now.
Exactly. A lot of consulting, coaching, training. And the easiest way to reach me is either by phone, 303-885-1182, or by email, don@doncooper.com.
Don, when we're talking about presentations, and I used the word trust a minute ago, we went to the break. People want to believe that if they do business with you, that they can trust you. And if you've spent more time getting inside of their head and less time trying to get them to understand what's in your head, that helps in the trust factor, doesn't it?
Absolutely. The more time you invest with them learning about them, the higher the trust factor. Precisely because so many salespeople don't bother with that step. They simply rush into the pitch. When you take the time to learn who your prospect is, what they need, want, and everything else about them, you greatly enhance the trust factor. That being said, there are some additional ways to increase trust in your presentation. One of the most powerful and most overlooked ways is with testimonials. Give proof statements to your prospect about why they can trust you.
It's another form of a referral, isn't it?
Absolutely. When you can provide actual names of people that have used your company and have gotten great results, that helps to improve your credibility.
And you know, you can. And another thing you talked to earlier about not trying to convince them how wonderful you are at the beginning. If you're smart, as you talk to your prospects, and as they ask you questions, you can bring those referrals up. You can bring when the customers are happy with you, when they're willing to tell people about that, you can weave that into your presentation by saying, well, you know, let me tell you about it. We got a customer that we've been doing business with for 10 years or whatever, you know, and they like to say so and so and so. You can weave that into your presentation without making it sound like a commercial.
Absolutely. Because whenever you're talking about somebody else's experience, that gives you credibility, mm-hmm. which is why you should also tell stories throughout your presentation.
Yeah.
Tell your prospects stories about other prospects like them that you've helped. Give them similarities, analogies. We helped one client achieve X.
Mm-hmm.
We dealt with a company a lot like yours. They were also trying to do what you're trying to do. Here's how we helped them.
That's called the similar situation close, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. If you ever see the list of closes, the 13 famous closes, that's the similar situation close. It may be one of the most important mid-presentation closes that we got.
Definitely.
What are some things that you shouldn't say?
Well, you shouldn't say anything antagonistic about your competition. Never,
so if I don't like his
tie,
I probably shouldn't say anything about that. Is that what you're saying?
Well, pardon?
If I don't like the guy's tie, I probably should leave that alone.
That too, yeah, definitely. But anytime you badmouth the competition, it makes you look bad.
Yeah.
And it happens all the time.
That's classic.
People badmouth the competition, hoping that it's going to boost their credibility, but it does just the opposite. Also, you should never ask the question why. Okay, you're dying to ask me, Jim. Go ahead.
Tell us. Unless you know the answer already, right? Why, John?
Have an unintended consequence. Why questions sound accusatory or judgmental.
Mm.
If I ask you, why do you think that, or why did you do this?
Why in the world did you make that decision?
Yeah, it sounds like someone's being accused and put on the spot.
I can't believe you did that.
It immediately raises the prospect's defenses. So eliminate the word why, replace it with what questions or how questions. What is it about that that's important to you?
Yeah.
How did you come to believe that?
Good
when
stuff.
When you use those words instead, it dramatically reduces the accusatory nature of the question, and it helps to increase the comfort level of your prospect.
Good stuff, Don. Thank you for dropping these pearls of wisdom on us very much. We always appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
My pleasure, Jim.
Don Cooper, ladies and gentlemen. DonCooper.com. Check him out. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.